You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Bruda.
And we really need to change that opening, I think, because, I mean, we don't need to keep shaming Sam about the Gem and the Holograms movie. That was 2 years ago.
Well, we could come up with something new.
I mean, Sam shames himself every week, so...
Yeah, especially by not showing up.
He's going to bust in here like the Kool-Aid Man any second.
He's not here. He's nope. Late.
Running late.
And, here comes Thunder Muffin now.
Oh, yeah. Remember how the Kool-Aid Man would do that? He'd bust in and go, oh, yeah!
Okay. Yes. So, Sam has had a few Red Bulls.
Sam is here, in case you can't tell.
Oh, yeah.
We'll wait for him to...
Settle down, squeak the mic.
Oh, here, yeah.
Let's talk to some other catchphrases. The other one is... Hey, hey, hey.
That's not a catchphrase.
Who's that? It was Fat Albert.
Yeah, it's not a catchphrase.
Yeah.
Hey. Just
I'm
what he
Fat
yelled.
Fat Albert.
Just what he yelled when he ran down the steps to play, Bucky Nine Board? What was the name of that?
I don't know.
Somebody will correct me.
Oh, yeah.
That's on all those Bill Cosby comedy albums I can't listen to anymore.
It's clobbering time. Hey, guys.
Hi, Sam.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Just glad to be here on a Friday night for Hey Kids Comics, the radio show that we do.
Of course, Chris isn't here. It's just the three of us.
Well, it's Chris's birthday.
It's Chris's
birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
Chris. You know what we should do? We should do one of those things, you know, like in the restaurants when they sing happy birthday, but they don't really sing happy birthday. It's like...
They're like... Yeah.
Hey, Chris, it's your birthday. Oh, Chris. Happy birthday, Chris.
Everybody cheer.
And then everybody and leaves. You ever notice the moment that happens? Everybody just turns around. Like, they all turn around. They just shuffle back into the kitchen as fast as they can.
Except they don't have to do that anymore. The reason why they did that is because the happy birthday song was copyrighted, and they actually, you have to pay somebody to play the birthday song.
Yeah, but they still...
And somebody, whoever owns the birthday song, put it into the public domain or gave it a free license. So now you can sing happy birthday all you want. You don't got to pay anybody.
But they don't. They still do some dumb stuff.
Well, it's only been a year or so, so you got to wait till that filters down.
And I mean, they're probably like each restaurant has its own thing that they're like, well, you know what? We're going to be different from John's across the street. Our birthday song's going to be peppier. And it's the exact same song.
But they all do the
our football helmet will have antlers.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Anyway, happy birthday, Chris.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris. I'm too sick to come to the radio show. And he's shopping for toys at Value Village all day long.
Was he?
Yeah.
What'd he buy?
That's like when you play hooky and your English teacher finds you at the subway. Like, it's like,
What'd he buy?
He found a He-Man, an original He-Man.
Was it
with the sword and
yeah?
The shield?
Oh my
it's
God.
Only missing the axe. Apparently, the shield's a little harder to find.
That's great. Talking about toys.
Okay.
Are we talking about toys?
Sure, why not?
Well, comic book themed toys?
Sure.
I got an email today from Amazon.com mm-hmm. telling me that my exclusive Hawk Girl, DC Superhero Girls doll, it has been sent. What do you call that?
Shipped.
Sent.
Shipped. Thank you. Shipped. So it's the newest, as you know, I love the DC Superhero Girl dolls. I've been collecting them and I've gone through great pains to get some of the ones that have not come to Canada. I got some pretty rare ones. So I'm really excited about the Hot Girl one coming. I should get her next week. But now online, they are doing a poll where you can vote for what the next DC Superhero Girl doll release will be. There are three selections. It's Catwoman, which is a given. I don't know why they haven't made her yet. And the other two are really interesting. Mera and the Jessica Cruz Green Lantern. Now, okay. If it goes the way it has before, it doesn't matter who wins the poll. They just make all three anyway.
Yeah.
Because they've done this before, and they just make all three. But I was going to ask you, because you would know this, was there ever a Mera Migo back in the day?
There was not a Mera Migo, but Ideal, before that, mm-hmm. made a set of girl dolls.
Okay.
And they did, like, Wonder Woman and Batgirl, and they made a Mera.
Oh, because I could have sworn there was a Mera doll.
They're rare.
Oh, yeah?
They're expensive and rare.
Yeah, I thought there was a Mera made at some point. I swore I saw it, but I didn't think it was Amigo.
I'm trying to remember what they were called. Supergirls or...
So they did Supergirl, Wonder Woman, Mera. Did they do a Batgirl?
Yep.
There was a Batgirl too, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I'll have to double check. Yeah. Gosh, what did they call them? Super Queens.
They called them
the Super Queens.
Okay. Now they just call men who collect DC Superhero Girl dolls.
Yeah.
Super Queens.
1967. Look at that.
Oh, hey, look at that. Still in its box.
And hard to find.
Man, that's really hard. That's really cool. It's really cool.
I think, I'm not swearing by this, but I think one sold recently on eBay for $3,000 US.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I swore I'd seen something like that before, but...
It's a Posen doll. P-O-S-I-N apostrophe. Posen doll.
All right. All right.
It's not an action figure. It's a Posen doll. But so. Yeah, they made, exactly like I said, Batgirl, Supergirl, Wonder Woman, and Mera. Mm-hmm. So...
Oh, those are really neat.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah, I thought something like that existed, but...
Now, not necessarily...
They were by Ideal.
Yeah, that's what I said. Ideal in the 60s. 67.
Hmm.
So that predates Mego a little bit.
Yeah.
Mego's was like 72 and all.
Very cool.
But toys.
Yeah.
Not necessarily comic book, but sort of.
Okay.
Planet of the Apes, 3¾.
Oh, I know. Did you see those? Those are so cool.
Oh, my God.
I need those so bad. They have to come to my life.
I should have brought the Titans in because I got the Titans one they released.
I've seen a few of those. Did you get a complete set?
Yeah, I've got Cyclops. Sorry, I always say that. Cyborg, mm-hmm. Nightwing, and Starfire and Raven.
Where did you get the rest?
From Flea Bay. Because they were what they were. They came in the Legion of Collectors.
Yeah, I remember
prize
that.
Prize boxes. And you got two in a box. Mm-hmm. And it was a random selection. So people... eventually sold the ones they didn't want, so I managed to get a set.
They're so cool.
Well, they released the Superman first appearance,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know why they didn't release them to the general public. It was, again, just this Legion of Collectors.
Mm-hmm. So which characters are being released in the Planet of the Apes ones?
Cornelius.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Kira.
Zira.
Urko.
Okay.
Or...
Yep. Urko
was the
Grella.
Yeah, but was he the TV show, the movie, or the cartoon?
I've never seen the TV show, believe it or not.
Zaius. Dr.
Okay.
Zaius. And
Taylor, right?
Yeah, Taylor and Nova.
Oh, in a collector's pack?
No, just singles.
Just singles. Okay, cool.
And that's from Super 7 / Funko.
Mm-hmm.
They're releasing these 3¾ kind of retro figures.
It's funny that I wonder if that means that it's a matter of time before like classic Apes Pops are on their way, because they did the new Apes movies for Pops, but they haven't done the classic Apes.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's about Dan, have you seen anything about the classic Apes Pops?
I have not seen anything about it, but I would be interested in those.
Yeah, yeah. Next two Pops I'm looking for right now, that they haven't really officially been released, but they were released at Toronto, the New York Toy Con, is Mr. Rogers and Alice Cooper.
Just say no to Pops.
Man,
Pops are bad.
But I've bought like 6 or 7 Pops this week for my kids.
Oh, yeah, just this week.
Just this week. Well, my kids and I have just gotten into Minecraft and have been spending a lot of time playing that.
Yeah.
And Cooper's not like big into like the Pops and stuff. Like, I haven't bought him any before, and so he wanted a Minecraft one, so I bought it for him. And then I bought a couple other ones that we only had one in, one left, so I bought them to give them later, of Minecraft. And for Amelia, I bought her the beginnings of two different sets for the Teen Titans Go, which sucks because I'll have to finish those sets for her. But
yeah
so I've got two sets on the go for her.
The last ones I bought was, are you ready, guys? I bought the Riverdale ones.
I know.
And the only reason I did it is because they were close enough. They looked close enough to the classic Archie ones that I could kind of forget. For the exception of the Jughead, I was really disappointed in the Jughead. He had like some kind of knitted cap instead of a crown. Yeah. So that was really disappointing. I didn't like that. But the other ones, like the Archie one, Betty, Veronica, Cheryl, are really nice. So
you're such a poser.
I'm not a poser. I'm still a man of distinction.
No,
I'm
you're still, not.
I know.
You sold out. You bought Riverdale.
I'm not.
Pops.
It's just like
you bought Riverdale.
It's like
Pops.
This. Just because somebody would collect, like, let's say something like Nazi memorabilia, doesn't make them a Nazi. It's just like if I will buy the occasional Riverdale memorabilia, it doesn't make me like a Riverdale fan.
Okay. No. Because you are. Pretty much, and I use this term delicately, a Nazi about not watching Riverdale. Okay? You have a very Achtung fascist attitude towards Riverdale.
Not me.
You know? In a negatory, like, no Riverdale. And then all of a sudden, Riverdale's in your life.
It's not in my life.
It is.
It's not.
Yeah, they're sitting on your shelf.
They look enough like the actual ones. They're like so
stylized. You're saying that. This is you compromising on your ethics. Right now, it's Pops. Because they kind of, sort of. Just kind of. Next thing you know, you're going to get the Riverdale comic book because either Dan or Fernando's going to draw a backup strip in it or something like this. Uh-huh. And then you're going to be like, okay, I got to get it. I know it's a Riverdale comic, but... Then you're watching the darn show.
Hey, man, I was just following
it's
orders.
It's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope to Riverdale.
Nah, it's not happening. Never. Never, ever, ever, ever. Anyway.
It is a slippery slope, but I don't think you'll fall down there.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for having faith
in me.
Yes,
you will. He most definitely will.
Okay, great. Well, anyway.
So... Very randomly, I was just cruising through Bleeding Cool and saw a thing on Final Crisis, which...
Oh, God.
It's always been one of my favorite ones.
Are you serious? It's a giant piece of shit.
It's Final Crisis?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's very convoluted. It's very hard to understand. But I just enjoy it for some reason.
Why, Dan? Explain.
I don't know. Well, first of all, I love... The cover art.
The cover art was pretty cool.
J.G. Jones did some killer cover art on the seven issues.
Dan, explain to me what it was about.
It was about this crisis that finally happened.
It's the crisis. It's the when the villains win. The villains win, and then Superman has to fight another Superman in some bizarre dimension, and he destroys the entire universe, and somehow... Superman becomes a vampire, and that's another Superman, not the Superman we know. And then all the Supermans for the entire multiverse come and they defeat Darkseid somehow, that I'm still not sure about. But I like it.
Well, you know what, Dan? I like you. So I can accept that.
Anyways, but there's a 10th anniversary. Okay, this is exciting for me too, though. Okay. The 10th anniversary omnibus is coming out.
Right.
And Final Crisis was, I'm not like you guys in that I haven't been collecting comics my whole life.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sort of recent to this. Mm-hmm. And Final Crisis was one of the first ones that I've read.
Right.
So that means I've been reading comics for 10 years.
Okay, I can
understand. That's, congratulations to me. Yeah. I'm very
excited. It's kind of like I have a misty nostalgia for Millennium, which was a crossover series from the 80s.
Yeah,
and it sucked.
And it was terrible. But I you know what? Anything about Millennium will get me kind of oozy. In fact, the spinoff book out of that was this piece of. It's considered one of DC's worst books ever. It's called
New Guardians.
And I have a complete set of it. And it's one of those things where, like, when I was clearing out my comic collection a few years ago. Like, I kept all my New Guardian stuff, and I kept all my Millennium stuff, because it's just, again, it's kind of like you. You have this nostalgic love for it, and that's the way I was about Millennium, so I can understand that. Now, what Millennium was, I don't know. What was it about? It was about the Manhunters?
Yeah.
The Green Lantern villains.
The Green Lantern Manhunters.
And saying that there was, like, Manhunters in the whole, all the different supporting characters throughout the DC universe were actually
Skrulls.
No, they were Manhunter agents. It was long before the whole Skrull thing. It was actually predates the Skrull thing by quite a while. So all these characters that, like, I think it was like Lana Lang was a Manhunter, and Flash's parents were Manhunters, and Dr. Jace from The Outsiders was Manhunters. And, you know, you couldn't trust your friends and family, and how they and somehow the new Guardians came out of it. I don't remember how they fit into this whole nonsense.
Well, it's because the Guardians of the Universe, right? Yeah. The original police force slash
guys who invented the Manhunters. The big blue heads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were involved, and they decided to create this new policing force that was supposed to replace the Manhunters and the Green Lanterns, and it was horrible.
Well, what was so funny about the new Guardians was it was supposed to be multicultural. So they had like an Asian one, and they had one from Africa, and they had one from Tokyo in Japan, and they had like a gay guy and whatever. But what they did is they took all like the most blatant like stereotypes, and it almost, it was trying to be progressive, but it ended up being more offensive and racist.
What you talking about, Willis?
What's his face? Green Lantern's buddy was
well, one of the guys was gay.
Yeah.
And he literally walked around like all flamboyant and talking and like a Parisian chef.
His name was Extrano, which is like Spanish for queer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's just over the top, poorly done.
Yeah.
Now, however, name one series that came out of one of those big crossover events that actually didn't suck.
Hitman.
Hitman didn't come out of...
Not out of Millennium, but came out of... what was the one where... New Bloods? Was that what it was called?
What?
What was the one where...
Bloodlines.
Bloodlines, yeah.
Yeah,
Hitman,
but that
Hitman came out of Bloodlines.
Kind of, but not really.
Hitman was a Bloodline character.
God. Okay, well, name another one,
though. The Bwahaha Justice League?
No,
that came out of Legends.
Not really.
It did, too.
Not really.
It did, too.
Not really.
Yeah, it did.
It came after Legends, but it wasn't touted as... No, I mean, like, a new... concept, new series like New Guardians, because right now after DC Metal is supposed to be this new age of heroes, so the Silencer and all this stuff, we're not going to hear about these characters in 3 years.
No.
And the same thing, like, it was New Guardians, there was somebody else, there was another team,
I don't remember another
same
team.
Thing out of that. Bloodlines, right?
Yeah.
Some people came out of that. Like, it just seems like every time they have one of these spontaneous events that's supposed to introduce new characters, like, that seems to be one of the subplots always of these crossovers. The
Suicide Squad came out of Legends too.
Not really.
It did too. The Suicide Squad,
from the 60s.
Yeah, but the villain version, okay, the Suicide Squad was from the 60s, and they were like military guys with Rick Flag.
I'm talking about new characters.
No, hold on a second. Amanda Waller was first introduced in Legends.
Yes.
And she put together the villain Suicide Squad that if they went out on the team, like the Suicide Squad that we know now did not exist until Legends, even though they borrowed a name from the past. It was like a whole different thing. And that came out of Legends.
Literally, I disagree with you so much there's snot running down.
There's
my nose.
There's a little bit of a shades of gray going on here, I understand. I mean, I'm stretching just a little.
All right. I'll give you Hitman though.
Okay, cool.
Hitman was good.
Hitman was a great series.
But that was because, like, really, Hitman should have been a Vertigo book.
Oh, yeah. And Garth Ennis just threw out the whole Bloodlines thing the moment he could.
it's like, here you go. You got to do this. You got to do that to tie it in. And then, I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, and that's just what my favorite one was, the Hitman Green Lantern team up. I think that was those are the only Kyle Radner books I actually own. Because mainly it just kind of crapped on Kyle Radner, and that's why I liked it so much. Is that his name? Kyle Radner or Kyle?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Just to finish.
Well, what book came out of Final Crisis?
I don't know. That wasn't what we were talking about. That came out of your Millennium.
But did any books come out of Final Crisis?
I don't think so. I think nothing came out of Final Crisis. But anyways, the Omnibus is 51 comics.
Oh my God.
And 1,510 pages.
So I'm assuming it doesn't include Countdown and all that sort of stuff.
No, yeah, Countdown, man. Like,
because that was all tied into Final Crisis.
Yeah. Did you read, so it went 52, the series, the weekly series 52.
Which I read.
Which was great, like, with The Question and...
I got rid of those, man.
Yeah, it was a good series, though. Booster Gold was in it. Like, it was an enjoyable series of multiple characters, like, over a story arc where you followed a character for a little bit and stuff. But then it went into the Countdown, which eventually became Countdown to Final Crisis, but it ran for a year just with, like, completely... If 52 was building something up, Countdown was just throwing garbage at the wall to try to make something cool, but it sucked. I own them all, but it
was
sucked.
Final Crisis... Now,
the Final Crisis Aftermath books were pretty shitty, too.
What were they?
That was, like, Inked and Run.
Yeah.
And Dance... And Escape.
I think I have a copy.
Ink.
I think I have Run.
Now, mind you, Flash Rebirth came out of that.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, because the Flash. So I guess Barry Allen, the Flash, came out of this because he was brought back in issue 2.
Then it all sucks. It's all just crap. I've changed my opinion. It's
of
all
everything.
Crap.
It sucks.
Was that the one with where Mary Marvel was like all punk rock?
Yes.
And,
yes. Where she was like, her powers were perverted and she became. Like dark.
She had like a mark. She had like she
had
looked
like
that black latex
head.
Outfit
yeah.
that
yeah.
everybody cosplayed.
Oh no, the black latex costume was hot, but then she went unhot and she looked like Wendy O. Williams from the Plasmatics. But yeah, it was, and no one got that reference.
Nope,
not really. I half got it.
Like, we were literally talking about Keb Mo in the kitchen. So who the heck are the Plasmatics?
Okay, never mind. That's who she reminded me of anyways. So there you go. There you go.
So Free Comic Book Day coming up.
And when's that?
May 5th.
That's a few weeks away.
It's the same freaking weekend for the past 10 years. What do you mean, when is it? It's the first Saturday of May.
this is like, we just went
this
past
is
the first week.
Yeah, we just went past the first.
I literally pre-ordered my fifth Free Comic Book Day t-shirt for pizza.
Really? Good for you. I've only ordered one. There's only one book coming in on Free Comic Book Day I'm looking forward to.
Invasion.
No.
From Chapter House.
Oh, no, no. It is from Chapter House, though.
Die, Kitty,
Die. Kitty, Die. Hollywood or Die. Hollywood. Was it Heaven or Hell?
I have to say, I was shocked reading Hollywood or Bust when they killed Kitty at the end. I was shocked.
I've seen some of the pages for the new Heaven or Hell, and there's some really fun stuff, especially when she's in Heaven or Hell, because they actually are illustrating all these different celebrities and famous people that are in Heaven or Hell.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's pretty great. So, but
I've enjoyed Die Kitty Die so far, both series.
Mm-hmm. So that's, anyways, you were saying, though, I interrupted you.
No.
See, I was just being
like, hey, Free Comic Book Day.
I was just trying to give Sam here an epileptic seizure with this desk lamp.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Working.
I don't have epilepsy.
But they're apparently the first appearance of the 10th or the 13th Doctor in comic books is going to be in the Free Comic Book Day Doctor Who special.
Oh, that's something
in comics.
Worth getting.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy the Doctor Who comics. I used to review them, so I didn't have to pay for them.
Oh, yeah?
And they were fun to read, but it's cool to see them do different adventures. But like a sci-fi show like Doctor Who, they already do so much zany stuff that it's not like in the comics they go further than that, you know?
I just want a third Doctor comic.
Wasn't there, didn't you say, like, let's rewind 14 shows. And I think that, didn't you say they were making a third Doctor series?
Maybe they didn't. I didn't buy it.
I feel like if we went through old shows, we would definitely have talked about
You're
that.
You're killing me.
What do you mean?
I'm dying here.
I haven't seen you all week.
I'm dying here.
Usually me and Marty...
I wish there was a comic book that I don't wish there was ever again. So
what
long
are you
as
even
it's
talking
like
about?
Riverdale.
Oh, my God. You know, it's so funny. Me and Marty see each other at least once during the week, and we haven't seen each other this week.
Oh,
so.
This week's been just a
What a crazy
week.
Just
a poop show for me.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
Yeah. So you know what I did this week, guys? I actually read a lot of comics. Last week, I was saying how I had like 2 weeks worth of books piled up. And this week, I've been trying to slaughter through them. Now, I didn't bring any with me, although I wanted to, but I didn't get a chance. But there was a couple of books that really stood out that I was going to talk about. If that's cool, you guys,
yeah.
You guys
yeah.
All right, one book I don't have. I wish I had the writers of these books, so you guys should look them up because you have devices that'll look this stuff up. But one book I really started reading this week, I really enjoyed, is the Snagglepuss book from DC. And how did you know I was going to talk about Snagglepuss?
No, I pulled up the Third Doctor omnibus available from Titan.
So there is one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
how did you manage to lock my tablet?
I don't know.
By looking at it.
Because everything I touch breaks. I thought you knew that. All right,
Snagglepuss.
Snagglepuss. Okay, so it took me a few months to be able to get the issues because of some communication problems with my local comic store.
Yeah. That's putting it lightly.
And so anyways, finally I got the first three issues of Snagglepuss, so I read it all at once. And we talked about this earlier on a show when I first found out because I thought the whole thing was just crazy. They were revamping Snagglepuss to be a gay New York theater playwright during McCarthy.
New York? I thought it was like St. Louis.
Well, he's from the South.
St. Louis.
But he lives in
New
York.
New Orleans.
He is from New Orleans, but he lives in New York.
Okay.
So I started.
That's not a New York.
Well, he lives in New York. It takes place in New York.
Yeah, but he's.
Why are you fighting with me?
I'm not fighting with you.
Have you read it? I've read it.
It's important to the character that he has the Southern draw and he has the Southern sensibilities and he's in New York.
Mm-hmm. And he's. Yeah, okay. And he's based after Tennessee Williams.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, anyway, I really like it. I really feel that it's a really smart read. It's really intelligent. It really captures that time in history really well. Issue three was extremely interesting to me because they delved into the relationship between Marilyn Monroe and Arthur Miller, the famous American playwright. A lot of people remember Marilyn Monroe married Joe DiMaggio, but after they divorced, she married New York classic playwright and intellect Arthur Miller in one of the weirdest romance like kind of pairings of all time. Arthur Miller is famous for writing Death of a Salesman and The Misfits.
Crucible.
And the Crucible.
And
that's right. Yeah.
Didn't he write?
It's funny that you brought up the Crucible because the Crucible is opening in this book, in this comic. The Crucible was Arthur Miller's take on McCarthyism. So the whole book takes place. Now, I researched for an article I wrote years ago. I researched the relationship between Marilyn Monroe and Arthur Miller, which I found really, really interesting. I'm not going to go into detail on it. But this book, you could tell that the writer is a fan of both Arthur Miller and Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
Because you could tell he knew about their relationship. And he really gives like not just as a sense of history through the whole series, really amazing, but his knowledge on these relationships are also amazing. And it was cool how he brought Snagglepuss into it. What makes me uncomfortable about the series is a little uncomfortable. And it's not the communism. It's not the whole gay thing, because it is also very much about being gay in the 1950s. So having to have like fake marriages, being outed as, being gay and losing so much. Like Huckleberry Hound is a character in the book, and he was basically married and had a kid, and he gets outed as being gay and loses his whole family, loses everything. And it's sort of one of the subplots, which is really good. But what makes me uncomfortable, and I first kind of noticed it in the Huckleberry Hound subplot, is they do this whole thing where, okay, so you have all these animals walking around like they're human, but then you got humans, and the humans and the animals interact, okay?
Okay.
Like if they're like the same, but there's a scene where like Huckleberry Hound's like making it with this guy. And it was just a little too...
Because he's an animal and the guy's a human character.
It was like too bestiality for me.
Yeah.
That makes me uncomfortable. I don't know what... Like something about like a cat and a dog making out doesn't make me uncomfortable. Or a gay dog and a gay cat. Or two gay men. But something about a man passionately kissing a Blue Dog. Just, I don't know. That's a little disturbing to me, but really smart series. The writing's impeccable.
Written by Mark Russell.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is either.
Yeah, but I'm really enjoying this. I'm enjoying this.
He
and
wrote
I know
the Flintstones.
I know I'm the only person in that's reading it. I don't know anybody else reading this book. But and originally I just bought it for the irony of it.
Yeah.
Now that I'm reading it, I'm really impressed by how smart of a book it is. So that was the most impressive thing I read this week. Did you guys read anything?
I have read nothing.
How about you?
My pull list, my pull to read file is massive.
Oh, yeah?
It's ginormous.
Okay.
But there is some cool stuff out there.
Yeah?
This is a little bit of trivia.
Okay.
But the very first appearance of Captain Polska in an actual story in an actual comic book is happening.
Wow, really?
Yeah. So it's in the Adventures of Aurora Man Annual number 1.
When's that coming out?
End of April.
Oh,
when's
yeah?
the, is it the Calgary Expo?
Yes, I believe. And it's around Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah. It's from like a whole bunch of our friends and stuff have contributed to this and stuff. So it looks pretty cool. I'll put a link on the Facebook page and on the website so you can pre-order it.
I need one of those.
It's pretty cool. It's like everybody's in here. We got Aurora Man, Space Pig Amadeus, Space Squatch, Captain Polska, the Canadian Corps, Daisy Blackwood, Blackthorn, Oryk, Jack Grimm, the Where Is Zog characters, Grum and Zill, Big Nick, and Jason in New York are all
do
in this comic.
Tell Sam why he would be excited for this comic book.
I don't know. Why would he be?
The thing that Donovan posted involving Degrassi.
Oh, yeah. There's a Degrassi panel in here. And
Joey
Jeremiah. He actually put the whole panel as his Instagram/Twitter.
Twitter.
Oh, my
wallpaper.
God.
Yeah.
Wow, I need
That's
this.
That's pretty cool.
Like, Degrassi and Captain Polska in the same book? Like, wow.
That's the panel right there. The second from the top. That's the panel that's in it. Second
Silence.
From the top.
Silence as Sam reads.
Should I have blown it up more? So it's a fun little collaboration from the Canadian Comic Book Alliance. So that should be a heck of a lot of fun. $6 on Gumroad. $5 flat shipping. So if you get like 3 or 4 copies, it's $5.
That's
shipping.
Great. Cool.
So
but we should all go in together as friends and do that.
Yeah, we can order a bunch.
Yeah.
I've already ordered 5, but I'm going to order it in batches because poor Donovan, the guy who's organizing this, $5 flat rate. And I didn't want to buy 20 copies and he get $5. So
right.
I'm going like 5 copies. You'll give him $5.
Oh,
5
that's
copies.
Nice of you. Yeah.
Donovan's yelling at his radio right now, just pay me the actual shipping, Marty.
Well, I'd be more than happy to do that. He's the one that's insisting on this heavily discounted shipping rate. So
I mean, the shipping rates can drastically affect the amount of comics you order.
Oh,
for sure.
Yeah.
So if you're paying $5 shipping per issue, you'd order 2. You're just showing off here.
Yeah, I am.
Marty's just showing off all this stuff he's got that's not out yet.
So the other book I want to talk about is coming from our friends of Oryk fame.
Okay.
Great North Comics. So that's Davis Dewsbury, Andrew Thomas, and our buddy Dan here's collaborator, Sharon Gauthier. And it's a spinoff book from Oryk called Norland Sorceress of Light.
Oh, yeah?
And it's just a spinoff character from the book, so they're kind of branching out a little bit. Not only is there going to be an Oryk comic, there's going to be this. It's just a one-shot for now, but it looks really good. It looks really good. So that's coming out shortly, too.
That one's going to be out at the Timmins Comic-Con, April 21st and 22nd.
You'll be able to bring us back copies.
Yes, I'll be there. And
what else is happening at the Timmins Comic-Con?
The Ontario launch of The Adventures of Aurora Man number 2 is happening at the Timmins Comic Con. I'll be there with Sharon, and we can sign copies and sell some Aurora Man issue number 2s featuring another little Aurora Man story. So
great.
Now, if you happen to not be able to make it to Timmins, I'll have copies at the Peterborough Comic Con.
On the Sunday, April 22nd.
On the Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
they'll be for sale first at Timmins, but if you can't make it to Timmins, I'll have them in Peterborough on Sunday.
Have you guys read Ice Cream Man number 3 yet?
Yes. I still haven't read Ice Cream Man number 1.
Yes, I think.
Okay.
Which one's Ice Cream Number? Is that the one with the
rock singer?
Yes.
Oh my God. I was crazy about this issue. What's so amazing about Ice Cream Man is it gets better every issue. Like, I love the first issue, as you guys know. I went crazy over it. I thought the second issue was even better than the first issue. And the third issue, I want a spin-off series just based on that third issue. Basically what it was, I don't want to give it too many spoilers, but it was very much kind of like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and Rough Riders, but for music characters from songs. So they had Ruby Tuesday. They had Ziggy Stardust. They had, I'm trying to think of some of the other.
Jack and Diane?
No, they didn't have them, but they had Captain Jack Billy Joel song.
Yeah.
I can't think what some of the other characters. Lucy in Disguise with, Judy in Disguise with glasses. And they were kind of like this team of fighters in this yellow submarine type thing. And an amazing issue. And I don't want to give away the actual issue, but absolutely loved it.
The whole Ice Cream Man, though, it's kind of like Twilight Zone.
It is, yeah.
And each comic is going to be about something different with this overlying theme of the Ice Cream Man being this monstrous, demonish.
But I have a feeling that, like, there was a link from the first issue and the second issue.
There's a few tiny threads that I think are going to pay off.
And I think eventually some of these characters, like the character that's introduced in Ice Cream Number 3, he's kind of like a one-hit wonder from the early 60s, late 50s era of music, kind of like that kind of Elvis, Buddy Holly. And he's now aged and old and forgotten. And I can see him returning to the book. I can see the the cop from the first issue, because she's already made a second appearance. And I think eventually we're going to see some of these characters.
It's got a cool House of Mystery, House of Secrets kind of vibe, where you do have these framing characters showing up, but each story is pretty easily digestible.
Oh, yeah. But then that third issue, just with I'd love to see more of that universe they created with these musical characters. I wish I could remember all the different ones.
That's because you're a music guy.
Yeah.
I like number 2 better.
Number 2 is great.
I like number 2 better.
Number 2 is fantastic.
Not that I hated number 3.
Yeah.
You're
right. Jack and Diane should have been in it. Yeah. I would have been.
Jack and Diane.
Yeah. Who is the small town girl and the boy from the City Lights? From that Journey song?
I don't know. Ask the music guy.
I don't know. I don't think they're ever named, are they?
Are they?
It's just a small town girl.
Oh, yeah, they weren't. They weren't named. You're right, yeah.
Oh, speaking of Journey, I am so, devastated here. So, Lakefield Flea Market, right? Chris is out there. He's hawking his stuff.
Yeah.
We went out there, and there was a table. And on the table was an album. I'm trying to remember what album it was. Oh, I can't remember what album it was. But I immediately said I needed to get that album. And then beside it were a bunch of Atari games. And I have an Atari, so I think I should, buy some Atari games. So I'm looking. They had the Journey Atari game.
No way!
I picked it up. I put the record and the cassette down on the table. I was going to buy it. But the guy was nowhere to be found because it's freezing cold.
Then what you do is you just put it in your pocket and walk away.
Like, he's nowhere to be found. So I figured I'd go inside, do my thing, and then I'd come back.
No,
out.
You don't do that. Well, steal it.
I got inside. I got distracted by Mac Bolan books and Chris.
Hey, Kids Comics does not condone stealing.
Yeah, exactly. And when I came back out, he was packing up because he was late. Like, he was old and stuff, tired and cold. So I'm hoping he's there on Sunday.
The fact that there was a Journey video game always amuses the snot.
I played it as a kid. I bought it at Kmart.
I never played it. I never found out about it until the last couple of years, but I think it's hilarious.
I played it as a kid.
Man,
what do you do in it?
Well, basically what it is, it's one of those Frogger-type games, but it was you were just running left to right, and all the bad things that were dropped were coming at you. So it was basically you were the Journey lead singer,
Steve Perry.
And you're trying to run away from groupies and roadies and all this stuff. The groupies were these big lips with the high-heeled legs.
Right. Yeah.
And it was the song just kept playing over and over again.
What song was it?
You're gonna like put me on the spot here. You know I'm not very good with music.
Was it any way we want it? Or
I don't remember. I'll have to look.
Or what's that? What's that one where they're
It's the one that you think is really famous that isn't.
Oh, that one that I really like that no one else likes.
Yeah,
I like that song.
There you go.
It's the one where they have the video in the stockyards.
Welcome to the Journey expert panel here. Yeah, no idea. Well, that lead singer guy in
Steve
that
Perry,
song.
Steve Perry, I know that. And I know Steve Perry.
There you go.
Yeah, Steve Perry's awesome. I really like Steve Perry, but I don't want to like Steve Perry. I don't want to even admit that I like Steve Perry.
Isn't the lead singer's name Arno?
No, that's not the real Journey.
Oh, that,
that's like the Journey tribute band. I don't care how many original members of Journey are currently in Journey. If it's not Steve Perry singing leader, it's just a tribute band.
You're such an elitist.
I'm not. It's true. It's not the real Journey. If it's not Steve Perry, it's not the real Journey.
You don't have the real Archie Pops.
Yeah, it's just like if Peter Criss went out on tour and called himself Kiss.
Well, that's what...
Right? Nobody's going to do
that's
that.
That's what Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley do.
Yeah, but they started the band, so it's kind of their band.
Yeah, everybody else in Journey except the lead singer is the original guys.
Yeah, so it's not really Journey.
I believe they have letters of incorporation that would tell you otherwise.
All right.
Apparently. So was the game called Journey Escape?
Yep. Yeah. From Atari.
So apparently it's based on their album Escape.
I wonder if I have that one.
And
that's the one with the rocket ship.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think that's
exploding out of
the cover there.
Jeez Louise. Oh my
yeah,
God.
Holy cow.
Can you get any closer? Holy.
I do not have that album.
But so it says the music is... The intro tune is an excerpt from Don't Stop Believing.
Cool.
And but the in-game music is just an original tune rather than being based on a
Did
Journey
write
song.
It?
Doesn't say.
What? They wrote the song.
Did they?
Yeah, because it's based on Don't Stop Believing.
No. Dan just said that the song during the play of the game was an original song. I just want to know if Journey wrote that song.
I don't know.
Wikipedia doesn't know.
Wikipedia knows everything. What do you mean?
Well, it doesn't know this.
Right. So, another thing I read this week, and I put it up on the Peterborough Comic Group, and not too many people commented on it, but did you see
that... I'm going to screw you up here for a second.
Did you see that Scooter from Swing with Scooter made his triumphant return to comics last week? For the first time since 1971.
Okay.
Did you see that?
I queued up the Journey Atari song. I told you to wait, but you just kept going.
Well,
so
we,
now
we,
I don't
we
know
we
whether I interrupt
to,
you a second
what,
time
what
with
are
this cool music.
To do? Are
or...
we supposed to like
wait? But then we have to pay for the music.
Well, not if... No, it's Atari. This is
you
all
can,
like...
You can
of...
pay six sec- play 6 seconds. Yeah, that's... Like, that sounds like...
That's, look, there's the lips with the legs coming at you.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, man.
The fact that there's video footage of this video game on YouTube is, like, brutally amazing. Anyway, sorry.
It's too bad that they never made an REO Speedwagon video game.
I bet you they did.
I would have
been... I bet you
I
it was like
that.
A ColecoVision game.
Or... Or a Boston video game.
There you go. Okay, yeah. All right. Back to your nostalgia, 1960s DC Comics funny books.
Yeah. So Scooby-Doo.
Does that count? Because that makes it sound like I paid attention.
Fist bump.
That means I
All
paid
right.
attention to your Facebook post.
Thank you, Marty. I appreciate that. You made a comment.
Yeah, with Larry Jurish.
Yeah. So I bought the book. It was Scooby-Doo, the latest issue of Scooby-Doo Team-Up. And I bought it because they had Angel and the Ape on the cover. And I really like Angel and the Ape. But it was a whole issue dedicated to the funny books from the 60s. And it had Angel and the Ape, Stanley and his monster, Sugar and Spike, the Mannix, and all these different... and then they had like a character that was a lot like Jerry Lewis, but they couldn't call him Jerry Lewis because of they don't have the license anymore. They also made a reference to the Bob Hope comic that they made. But there was this one panel that had all these different characters that were like doing a telethon. Then the Inferior Five, who is has a big part in the book. But the other characters were kind of like from funny books, like, you know, and their Date with Debbie was there. One of the characters from Binky and Buddies. A couple of characters that I don't even know who they were. They're so obscure. But at their one panel, there was Scooter from Swing with Scooter. Now, I don't know if a lot of people know, but I'm a huge Swing with Scooter fan. It was... A lot of people say it was an Archie ripoff. Their early issues weren't, but later, eventually they got art. What was it? It was, I'm trying to think the name of the artist. He was one of the guys. He eventually went over to Archie. Scarpelli was
his
last name.
How did you forget Scarpelli's name?
What's his first name?
I don't know.
Anyways.
I'm not the big fan.
His last name's Scarpelli. I can't think what his first name is. He did the Swing with Scooter art. But anyway, I used to do this thing. I used to go to all Dan Didio used to always come to Fan Expo, and he used to do these DC panels. He would do three DC panels over the weekend, and I would go to all of them. And in every single one of his panels, I would always try to bring up Swing with Scooter. Hey, Dan, have you thought about doing bringing back Swing with Scooter? Dan, like, when are you going to do a new 52 version of Swing with Scooter? Dan, do you think, Scooter should appear in Final Crisis? You know what I mean? Like, and I
that would have been great.
No matter what, I would always, and Dan Didio, every time Dan went to Toronto, at least once during the weekend, I would ask a Swing with Scooter question every year. And he would make some kind of like, no, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. I remember one time, you know that corridor when you're going from Hall A to Hall B, where the autographs are? Autograph, you know, and there's that corridor with all the multi-lights. So I'm walking down that corridor, and I see Dan Didio walking the other way, right? And we're going, and we just pass each other, and Didio looks me in the eyes and goes, I don't swing with Scooter. And we just keep walking, right? So
Can I just tell you, I've heard the story before, yeah. And this is one of my favorite stories.
What?
The story with... Oh.
But
Dan Didio.
I don't swing with Scooter. Yeah.
Like the fact that you harassed him so much, he remembered and made a preemptive comment to you
exactly.
As he's walking by. I love that story.
And well, anyways, finally, Scooby-Doo team up, the latest issue, I don't know the number, Swing with Scooter has made, he's just in one panel, but it's something. And it means that they can keep the copyright.
I did see your post on Facebook. I always read the Scooby-Doo team up with Amelia. So I haven't been down to Whippy to pick up my copy yet. So I didn't read too much into it because I wanted to save it and keep it fresh.
But can't
for
you,
us.
But are you excited? That's going to be your first Scooter book.
Did they have the whole thing in it? Because it's digital first, right? So it comes out digitally first. And I just saw who the ghost was. Did they show the whole thing? Oh, okay.
I know.
So
who
it's not a spoiler.
Well, I haven't said who it is.
Oh, okay.
I stayed away from. It's not really ghost. It's a monster.
Well, ghost. No, it's a ghost in a sheet.
Oh, yeah. I didn't say who it was. Yes, I did not say.
See, ghost in a sheet.
Yeah, I know, right?
And it was Henry Scarpelli that you...
Henry Scarpelli, who was the father of Glenn Scarpelli, who was the Jump the Shark kid from One Day at a Time.
There you go.
And that's always why I remember that, because I know Glenn Scarpelli a lot more. Now, what Henry Scarpelli did, when Glenn Scarpelli got into One Day at a Time for a couple seasons, Henry Scarpelli started drawing Glenn into... Archie Comics, and he actually gave him his own strip called Glenn Scarpelli in Hollywood. But Glenn never really became the big teen idol that Archie was kind of hoping he'd be. And I know there's at least two Glenn Scarpelli covers, and I have one of them. The irony is Betty and Veronica would always be chasing after Glenn Scarpelli because he was like a teen heartthrob, apparently, although he wasn't really. And Archie and Reggie would get jealous. But ironically, Glenn Scarpelli was gay, which means, and I kept saying to Dan Parent, like, why don't you get Glenn Scarpelli to, like, show up in Kevin Keller books? Dan said, but he didn't really say much. He said he knows Glenn.
Well, because it's a real person, they probably have to pay, like, licensing fees.
George, well, did they have to pay licensing fees?
I'm willing to bet
80s?
You they did.
I think it was nepotism at its finest.
Well, yeah, but now they...
Now they would, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, I guess. Anyway, just a little bit of trivia there for you.
Given how well Dan and I's nose is behaving today, we should talk about Snot Girl number 10.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Is there something important about Snot Girl number 10?
No, I just was flipping through here and I saw it, Snot. And
have you read Snot Girl?
No. You and I are sitting going...
I've never read it either.
I read the first issue and didn't like it.
I read the... I was in the comic book store with Tabitha one time and... we were flipping through, and I read the first page, and I went, here, you'll like this, and I handed it to her, and she bought it. She hasn't read it yet, though.
Oh.
But
and that was, like, at least 10 months ago.
At least 10 months ago, yeah. I don't know
well, no,
when
this
that was.
No, this is Image, so it was probably 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
No, the first trade. It was the first trade.
Oh,
like,
okay.
The trade, so that's what we read. But Yeah, I will definitely steal it from her. And I like it's from Brian Lee O'Malley, isn't it?
That I one? Think so, yeah.
So,
oh, he's that guy. I met him at TCAF last year.
Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, man. And he did that great book, Seconds. And I met him. And I remember that was such a weird lineup because it was all these kids there, all these like little teenagers. And they were all they were all acting like they were about to meet a rock star.
Yeah.
Like they were like.
Well, that was one of the very first comic books that kind of kicked off that whole Scholastic graphic novel thing. Mm. So if you want to see, like, if you go to Chapters and you want to buy a Scott Pilgrim book, you actually go to the young adult section, okay. And it's there with Bone, and then these Babysitter Club and stuff like this. So there's a huge following. Like, my kid knows more about Scott Pilgrim than I do.
Oh, I love Scott Pilgrim. So, that brilliant series.
Like, a whole bunch of young readers, that's their comic books of Scott Pilgrim. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I could totally see them.
Oh, they were wigging out. I never saw a line of people more excited to meet a comic creator than Scott O'Malley.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
He was like a rock star to them. It was literally like me in line to meet David Hasselhoff or Alice Cooper, you know?
Now, have any of us bought Frank Miller's Circes?
No, I didn't buy it.
Like, anybody interested in this book?
I wouldn't say, like, I would read it.
If someone gave me a copy, I might read it. But only after I read Snagglepuss first.
Like, number one, it seems like something that would be better in a trade. Read all four issues.
Well, anything from Frank Miller, you usually want to wait for the trade.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it was a big to-do and things, and I don't know. I don't know.
I just find that Frank Miller, I love what Frank Miller has done, you know, like his Batman stories, even the ones that people don't like. I haven't read Master Race yet, but, like, a Frank Miller title at this point in his career is not something to jump up and down for.
Well, The Dark Knight Returns was the biggest pile of dung ever written. And what was it? $5 a book?
$10 an issue.
$10 an issue.
But was it $10 an issue?
Yeah. So that's my opinion on Frank Miller.
But, like, The Dark Knight. Which one was that?
The Dark Knight's brilliant.
The Dark Knight Returns is good. The Dark Knight Strikes Back was the one that you hated.
Oh, okay. All right. I can't remember the quote. And that's the thing too. Is like you look at like Frank Miller's Daredevil, brilliant.
Yeah.
You look like Frank Miller's Dark Knight Strikes Back, Returns. Oh, that Batman book he wrote in the '80s.
The first one was really friggin' important.
Yeah. And it was amazing. I mean, it's so good.
I still remember cracking that open and reading the first page where Bruce Wayne's in that race car accident. And just being absolutely floored. Like, it was just so different from anything else that was out there at the time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just blew my mind away, that book. It was really
cool. So do you think this is... We don't have time to discuss this.
Okay.
Probably, but...
So let's bring it up.
Just an interesting thought. Like, do comic creators have a shelf life?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Frank Miller has no story... Probably no stories left that are going to blow your mind.
Tell me something good John Byrne has written in the last 5 years.
But is he still writing comics?
Two words. Stan Lee. Have you read everything Stan Lee's written in the last 20 years is absolute shite.
But then we get into another argument, which is...
Did Stan Lee ever actually write it?
Yeah, did Stan Lee write that stuff in the first place?
I'll say another name.
Heavily
Charles
influenced.
Schultz. Okay. Charles Schultz.
You take that back.
I think Charles Schultz is a genius, an absolute genius. And his everything the guy wrote from about 1980 to the end of his career was absolutely horrible. Well, but you look at the stuff from the 50s to the 70s, brilliant.
It's the same thing, like Chris Claremont, right?
I was just going to say Claremont.
You've got to say Chris Claremont's like one of the greatest X-Men writers. And yet the book was so convoluted towards the end of his run that you didn't get it. Like, it just seems like creators need to switch things up. Like Dan Slott leaving Amazing Spider-Man after, what is it, 15 years, 10 years? Mm-hmm. How long has he been doing it?
He was my entire life.
You know what? Yeah. Dan Slott's earliest issues were amazing, and I can't even read them now. But I'm excited about him on Fantastic Four.
That's what I mean. Like, your juices flowing again. Yeah. But yeah, definitely. There's no doubt in my mind. Like, Neil Adams, take a look at the stuff he's writing.
Wow.
Let alone what he's drawing.
He's never really been able to write.
Is it that it's not?
You're right. I was wrong because his Dead Man issues are amazing.
Exactly.
Is it that they no longer have relevant stories? Or is it that our tastes in like readers have changed and what they're telling now is no longer what interests us?
I think it's a little bit of both, because we definitely have changing tastes. Like after reading that Dark Knight Returns, I was not reading any of the old comics that I was. I dropped almost all of them. And I started gravitating towards, you know, Sandman and,
yeah,
and
towards
Vertigo
darker
and,
stuff.
You know, but some people keep some. I think it takes a rare talent. For instance, I really like a lot of Eisner's late works. The stuff he was doing at the end of his life is really interesting and really exciting. But stuff like the last Days of Vietnam and Fag and the Jew.
He's a little bit different because he kind of like. The other writers that we're talking about is they're producing for a company and earning a living. He went on his own to do his own thing. He was kind of like the precursor to the whole publish a book at Image idea.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
those were heartfelt stories that he needed to tell.
Yeah. Eisner was amazing in the 50s when he was doing The Spirit, and at the end of his life it was about the 90s.
Yeah.
You know that.
But if they made him grind out Spirit for 40 years.
Yeah, who knows? You know what I really regret is the first... Remember before Wizard World, there was the Paradise Comic Con?
Yep.
The first Paradise Comic Con, I thought about going and I didn't, and Eisner was there.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God, I would have loved to have met him.
There you go.
Man, I tell you, I would have loved to have seen Eisner.
That's exactly what he said, too. On his deathbed, he was like, I wish I met Sam Tweedle.
Wow. I love you, Eisner.
That's about all the time we've got for this this episode. So, as always, you can check out heykidscomics.ca for previous episodes.
Are we coming back next
week? Yes. We are back next week. Next week is the last one before we have a small break and then start the summer session.
Good to know.
Here's a thought. It's Friday the 13th next week. Let's have some horror comic discussion.
Yeah. Okay.
So, start reading some horror comics.
Done.
I can do it.
So check us out on iTunes, Google Play, and thanks for tuning in.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by... no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?